So we are starting our second in this series called Logos. And today we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Last week we looked at the first two verses in John chapter 1, and we talked about the difference between the Word, capital W, Jesus, and the Word, small w, the Word of God, the Bible. And we talked about how it was so important that we are introduced to this Word and that we worship the capital W Word, Jesus. And today we're going to continue on through these verses. And I hope we're going to be challenged. I felt challenged by these verses as I was preparing. And I actually said to Cindy this morning, I said, I feel like this is a little heavy. So hopefully you guys are in the mood for some heavy lifting. Feel like doing some heavy lifting? Some of you maybe, okay. If you don't feel like you're in the mood, maybe someone beside you can do some heavy lifting for you. We can support each other that way. You guys remember when the PlayStation 3 came out? Anyone remember that far back? I mean, you've got to be kind of the right age. You can't be too old because it's not on the radar. You can't be too young. PlayStation 3, who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, that was a good time. PlayStation 3, when that came out, it looked like it was going to be a good thing because you could watch TV on it, you could play music on it, photos, you could do all sorts of stuff. And they had this brilliant ad campaign that I actually thought, it's just stuck with me. And do you remember what they said, anyone? PlayStation 3, it only does everything. And we got one, and I was looking forward to like my dishes and stuff being done. It didn't do that. It didn't really make me a great latte or anything like that. It did do a lot of stuff. It was kind of cool. It kind of did everything that you would expect it to do. But everything's kind of a big word. It fell short in a few areas. But everything. Now that is something. Everything is huge. And I have trouble wrapping my head around the idea of everything because it's so big, so deep, so wide, so large. Everything. There isn't anything left out. Everything is universal in scale. It's cosmic. So when I think of everything, I think of the universe and all it contains. All things. And let me throw some casual numbers out there, okay? I did some research, and I found out that there's 100 billion galaxies. Galaxies. And actually, I thought I better get this information correct, so I counted again. And it turned out that some people think it's even higher. There's like 2 trillion, some people say. 2 trillion galaxies, not stars, galaxies. And they say at least. Isn't that funny? At least 2 trillion. 2 trillion or so. So we live in this galaxy called the Milky Way. It's home. It's our neighborhood. And in our home galaxy, there are from 100 to 400 billion stars. One of 2 trillion galaxies. So that means there are kind of a lot of stars in the universe, right? Kind of a lot. And it's hard to put a number to that. And when it comes to that point where numbers just seem to be nonsense, because they're so big. One source said that there was this 300, you ready for it? Sextillion stars. Sounds like a bad word. 300 sextillion stars, and I don't know that number sextillion, but I think it's really big and I'd like that amount of money in my bank account. But just to make the numbers more manageable, let me say this. It helps to think, since there are 2 trillion galaxies, and galaxies each have billions of stars, that would mean there are at least 2 trillion billion stars. That's big. And I'm not making this up. It sounds like kids talk almost. It just sounds kind of silly. And I don't even know what to think of this. It makes my head hurt. Everything is big. Everything is really big. And with that in mind, we are going to read John 1, verses 3 and 4. Actually, I'm going to read 1 to 4. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Everything. He's connected to everything that is. He gave life to everything. His life brought light to everyone. So, he only created everything, to borrow a line from PlayStation, right? And that's pretty big. That's a lot of stuff. And I wonder, do you ever think of Jesus that way? Do you ever think that Jesus created everything so much that this word, this person who was and is to come, created everything? Now, the word everything was big for them back then. When they didn't have an idea of how large the universe was and just saw the stars in the sky, it was big, and it's even bigger for us now. How do we even deal with this? How do we even begin to understand the concept of everything? Let alone a God, the Word, who created everything into existence, who gave life to everyone. Where do we begin with everything? If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we see the first few words and the first creative act of God was the command of light. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And interestingly, here in John 1, we have in verse 3 and 4, a type of mirror to the narrative in Genesis 1, almost exactly paralleling it. God in his totality, in his community, here called the Word, being described as the light bringer. In Genesis 1, light is brought into being. And in John 1, we're introduced to the light bringer. The Word's life brought light to everyone. And it's almost an identical placement to Genesis, this introduction of light. What we have here is an expansion and opening up of the Genesis narrative. And the Word, capital W, introduced as the creator, pre-existent, creative, powerful, self-sustaining, we're introduced to him. And he's identified very deliberately with Genesis 1. He's identified as the creative agent by which all things were created and through which all life is sustained. And there's such an alignment that we know that this word being introduced, this person, Jesus, is the source of everything. The source of all goodness, light, love, and life. He's the source. And when we look back to Genesis and we see that this word was somehow in this relationship, this community with Almighty God, Elohim, at the very beginning, before there was a beginning, the word is somehow connected to the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, in such a way that they are inseparable. They're together. So try to imagine this. You've grown up in this fiercely monotheistic tradition. A tradition that says God is one. From God revealing himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then to Moses. And the faith of Israel has developed more and more in understanding of God. And not only is Elohim the greatest of gods, they come to understand that there is only one God, that he's the only God. So you know this, you believe it, you feel this. And you know the creation story, it's in the Torah, you've memorized it. You're steeped in it, you recite it, you chant it. There's no way you're going to miss this so obvious comparison and referral back to the opening of the Genesis creation account. There's no way, you won't miss it. And if you're a Greek, you'll hear the idea of logos, the word. And you'll know that this logos, the word, which is the Greek word that we translate word here, goes way back to Greek philosophy. And logos was the tied to rational thought or explanation. And logos is the reason or the concept of a rational structure in the world. So either way, John's got you. Either way, he's got your attention. Because if you're Greek, you read this and say, wait a minute. Are you saying that this Jesus person, who is crucified as an insurgent by the Romans, was actually in his person himself the explanation of all this, the source? And if you're Hebrew, steeped in all that tradition, you hear the deliberate and obvious connection to your sacred text that Jesus is the Word, the source of creation, and the agent that spoke into existence in Genesis. You go, wow, now that's quite a claim. Now you've got my attention. In him, the Logos was life. And that life is the light of humankind. This word, the spoken word of Genesis, who was somehow, in a way that we can't really comprehend or explain, present with God in a close relationship, who is at once identifiable as an individual person and at the same time inseparable from the whole. This word is the one we're talking about. This word, Jesus, was the same one that spoke light in Genesis 1:3 and is now identified as the light of all people. Now, this scripture must have been something like a grenade going off in a sanctuary, because it would have startled people. The first people that heard this, it would have sent shockwaves through the sanctuary, because it introduced them to a God who was way bigger, way wider, way deeper than anything they ever thought. It was explosive news. It introduced them to a Jesus who was literally connected to everything. 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 Nothing was created except through him. Through him, everything was made. He gave life to everything. He sustains everything. He only does everything. I'm sure there were different reactions. Some people would be like, wow, this claim is too big. It can't be right. So they just dismiss it out of hand. And others are like, wow, that's a big claim. It's too much to be a trivial statement. I'm going to look into this. And 2,000 years later, as we read these words in the book of John in the Bible, it's still eliciting those types of responses. Today, the word, the words actually of the word, capital W, in the word, small w, of God, are still bringing people to a crisis of hope and light. What's your reaction to this? What's your reaction? The Word created everything. In him, everything is sustained. Everything. I have to admit, it's big. It's a lot for me. Sometimes I even think that this is too much for me. It hurts my brain. It's brain freeze. It stretches my ideas about who God is and what he's capable of. And I have to admit, I have an idea of what God does, what he's able to do, that's a lot more comfortable and smaller. I'm comfortable with a smaller everything, a smaller number of stars. Like, maybe I'm comfortable with 1 billion stars. That's enough. But everything? That much? That numbers I gave you about the universe don't even express everything. They express a mathematical guess with limitations. Everything is bigger. Everything is a big word. He created everything. He's connected to everything. He's the source. the source of everything. And to be honest, when I think about everything in terms of this bigness, and I think for me, and maybe for you, this is just too big for me. I have no way, no experience of understanding or relating to that, or relating to a God like that. It's difficult for my faith. Everything is so big. How do you find yourself? How do we find ourselves in this bigness? I can't make sense of it. I think there's some irony in this text, and actually maybe irony isn't even the right word, some paradox. And some might even say, dare I use the word juxtaposition? You know that everyday word that we use in conversations when we're watching hockey games and stuff? Look at that juxtaposed pass. That was amazing. It means two things being placed together with a contrasting effect. And when those two things are placed together, you come to a place where you understand the whole greater than you did before. And the two things here, which are precisely the point of this text, are the words greatness, his power, his majesty, his creative imagination, his unlimited artistry, and his intimacy, his closeness, his awareness, his care, his connectedness to everything. And these two things held together give us this amazing picture of who Jesus is. We get this coming together of everything. And on the one hand, the everything is very big, universal, grand. On the other hand, the everything is very small. It includes the personal, the everyday, the tiny, the manger. That's also everything. Did you ever think that this star creator is interested in every area of your life? Did you ever think that Jesus wants to go to those places where you aren't even willing to go in your life? Everything. Everywhere. He's connected to everything. Now, one of the distinctives of our faith, of Christian faith, that makes it real, that brings it home, that scales it to a size that we can understand, that brings it back to earth, is what we celebrate every Christmas. It's this mystery, this contrast, this juxtaposition, that this word, this source, this creative agent who is the source of everything became nothing. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, we read about this. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Now, I think it's crucial that we get this because the Jesus that we know not only is the source of everything, but he's in our everything. He's in the everyday. He's in the muck. He's in the mud. He's in the manger. He's in the stable mucking it out. Remember that word juxtaposition that we use a lot? I think of the dual natures of Christ and like to place those two things together because on the one hand we have Jesus who is fully divine. On the other hand we have Jesus who is fully human. And we've got the Jesus of everything, the God of everything, the creator of those stars that's so big it makes our heads hurt. So big it becomes unimaginable. And we've got the Jesus of everything, who is in the everything, the everyday, the ordinary, the muck. And these are unified and we can't separate the two things. And together, and I think only together, do we have meaning about who God is. Together we have a God who we can worship. Together we have one who is worthy and one who is close. And the dual nature of Jesus, fully human, fully divine, makes our faith real every day. The everything of everyday life. And there's something important and practical and everyday we have to consider about this everything. It's our spirituality. Where is God? Because we have this impulse to find him in those big places, the cathedrals, the stars, the miraculous acts, or the places that we separate out as spiritual, Bible studies, devotionals, prayer meetings, worship services. But that's not the whole picture. He's in the everyday, the muck, the dirty dishes, the burnt turkey, the dead battery on a cold day. There is nowhere you can go to escape God's presence. You might already know this, but let me put this in a different way. Transcendent and immanent are united in the Word. The sacred and the profane are united in the Word. The holy and the ordinary are united in the Word. The Sunday and every other day are united in the Word. The public life and your secret life are united in the Word. And think about that. There is nothing that we do that is not spiritual. It's all connected. Jesus brings them together, and he wants in. Years ago, I had this friend who, I guess he thought he was kind of a spiritual guru, maybe, because we'd be getting together and we'd be talking about life and sharing about life, and I'd tell him about all these struggles and stuff, and then he'd go, "Well, how are you doing spiritually?" I was always puzzled by that question. How am I doing spiritually? I mean, I just told you about all these things. You want to know how I'm doing spiritually? What the heck do you mean? Like, you mean how I'm doing psychologically, physically, mentally isn't connected to how I'm doing spiritually? That's a separate thing? I don't get it. And back then, I didn't really know what to say, but I knew that that question bugged me. How are you doing spiritually? But the truth is, everything is spiritual. And the problem with the question, how are you doing spiritually, is it separates and pulls out the spiritual from the ordinary. The problem with this way of thinking is that it relegates most of our lives to the non-spiritual and says it doesn't matter. The problem with this way of thinking is that it separates the ordinary from the holy. And it doesn't bring the holy out to bear on every day. The spiritual life isn't about escaping and separating out things of spirit from life. The spiritual life is about bringing things of spirit to everyday life. Christian spirituality involves that relationship between the whole person and the holy God, and this idea that there is a huge difference between the sacred and the ordinary, religious and social, etc., you won't find in the teachings of Jesus or in the Bible. Jesus is in the everyday and the ordinary. Now that's a God I can get. That's a God that I can fall in love with. And that's a God that I can give my life to. And the manger did that. It brought that everything, that trillion, billion stars into something. It brought the holy, the divine, the word into the ordinary, the profane, the manger. That's the God we worship. That's the God of everything. The God of the stars, yes, but also the God of the mangers, the God of the everyday, the God of the ordinary, the God of everywhere. Celtic Christians had a really cool way of saying these things, and there's a Celtic prayer I want to read to you, and it reflects this everyday theology. God to enfold me, God to surround me, God in my speaking, God in my thinking, God in my sleeping, God in my waking, God in my watching, God in my hoping, God in my life, God in my lips, God in my soul, God in my heart, God in my suffering, God in my slumber, God in my every living soul, God in my eternity. You guys get it? This bringing together of everything? God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. He only does everything. He only is everything. He's only in everything. God in my hockey games. God in my housework. My housework. Our housework. God in my homework. God in my work. God in my stuck in the traffic. God in my neighborhood. But he wants our everything. He wants our all. He wants our hearts, our souls, our minds. He wants our strength and our passions. He wants our love. And he will take all that and make it more. He's on our side. You know, I know we're on his side too, and you can play that, but really he is on our side. And the creator, the source, if he is for us, who can be against us? So I think we need to shift the way we think about spirituality, because our lives depend on it. The life of eternity is available right now, and it's the better way. It's every day. It's about health. It's about wholeness. It's about how we live, what we eat, what we drink, what we do, how we rise, how we sleep, how we engage with others, how we help others, how we work, how we play, how we treat our bodies, how we treat the earth, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat the neighborhood. It's the better way. It's the way of Jesus. And it's the life more abundant. Jesus in our everything. It's all connected. Let him in. Let Jesus this Christmas invade every aspect of your life. Let Jesus, the source, the connection, the life, the vine, let Jesus in this Christmas everywhere. Let's continue in our worship.